Rodentface nodded as he dumped gasoline over Ed and Sandy's bodies, drenching them, darkening their clothes, slicking their hair, swirling ribbons into the blood on the floor, acrid fumes curdling the air. Then he poured a glugging trail towards Darby, mouth breathing as he approached her, raising the fuel jug high with both hands. She closed her eyes, bracing for it. An icy gallon crashed down on her, pounding the back of her neck, splashing off her shoulders, plastering her hair to her face. Droplets spattered off the door behind her and pooled at her knees. Shockingly cold. Gasoline in her eyes, her mouth, a pungent taste. She spat on the floor. Lars backed up into the center of the room, holding Jay's shoulder. He set down the fuel can and it sloshed, still half full. Right beside a roll of shop towels and that familiar white Clorox jug. It all made sense now. Bleach to break down their DNA evidence. Towels for their fingerprints. Fire for everything else. Something white dangled from Lars's back pocket as he leaned to wipe the countertop. She recognized it. The rock in a sock Ashley had thrown into the parking lot hours ago, now obediently retrieved by Lars. The brothers were in cleanup mode now, performing the grim work of erasing any forensic clues that might pin them to the massacre here. That's why the keys are so important, Darby realized numbly. That's why Ashley can't leave them behind here. They're evidence. The worst part of it all? Their sheer dumb optimism. These brothers weren't criminal masterminds. Not even close. Even if they torched every square inch of this building to cinders, the Colorado police would find something. A stray hair, a skin flake, something distinctive about the Astros' tire tracks, a thumbprint on one of Ashley's steel nails, or even some circumstantial detail connecting Sandy to them, something they'd overlooked in their rush to eliminate her before she cracked under police scrutiny. They'd been careless. This entire ransom plot had been naive and stupid, and it was almost certainly doomed to fail. But not before costing innocent people their lives tonight. And to Darby, that was somehow the most offensive part of it all. She wiped an oily strand of hair from her face, dripping with accelerant, moments from burning to death. She knew she should be terrified, screaming, hysterical. But she couldn't summon the energy. She just felt tired. The front door creaked. Ashley was walking outside now. Just a few seconds left. He'd go out behind the visitor center and find his keychain in the snow. And then Darby's life would become as worthless as Ed's and Sandy's. A nail or a bullet to the skull if she was lucky. And a flicked match if she wasn't. Either way, she'd die right here, with her right hand smashed in a door. And then her bones would blacken in this fiery grave, while Ashley and Lars escaped with Jay. The burning visitor center would be a useful distraction until authorities discovered the three skeletons inside the wreckage. By then, the brothers Garver would be hours ahead. Plenty of time to vanish into an indifferent world. But this left one unknown. One final itching question. What are they going to do with Jay? Ashley had been planning to meet Sandy here, to murder her and sever ties. But what about Jay? If it's not for a ransom, then what? Jay approached her now. No, don't come any closer. She spat again. I have gasoline on me. But she came anyway, her little footprints rippling the dark puddle, and sat quietly on Darby's knee. Then she buried her face in the shoulder of Darby's Art March hoodie. Darby wrapped her unhurt arm around this stranger's daughter, and they huddled there together, in a shivery little embrace over their own reflections, as Ashley's footsteps faded outside.
"You didn't tell me your mom died," Jay whispered.
"Yeah, it just happened."
"I'm sorry."
"It's all right."
"Was she mean to you?"
"No, I was mean to her."
"But you still loved each other."
"It's complicated," Darby said. It was the best answer she had, and it broke her heart. "It's complicated."
Are your fingers okay?"
"They're locked in a door, so no."
"Does it hurt?"
"Let's talk about something else."
"Does it hurt, Darby?"
"It hurts less now," she lied, watching a second bead of her own blood inch down the doorframe, thicker than the first. The gas fumes were clouding her mind, smearing her thoughts like watercolors.
Can we
just talk about your dinosaurs for a while?"
"No."
Jay shook her head.
"I don't want to."
"Come on."
"No, Darby."
"Please, tell me about your favorite one, the Ystrepto thing."
"I don't want to."
The tears came to Darby now. Now of all times. Hard, choking sobs, like a seizure in her chest. She turned away. She couldn't let Jay see. Then Jay shifted her weight, and Darby thought the girl was only settling in her lap, until she felt something touch her palm. Small, metallic, ice cold. Her Swiss Army knife. She'd forgotten all about it.
"Later," Jay whispered. "I'll tell you about it later."
Darby looked back at her, understanding in a silent flash, those glassy blue eyes now pleading into hers.
"Here's your knife back. Please don't give up."
But it was too little, too late, because the 2-inch blade was better in Jay's hands than hers. Knife or no knife, Darby was about to die in this room. She was trapped here, with her shattered hand locked in a door. And Ashley was coming back to finish her off, any second now.
"You should keep the knife," she said to Jay.
It'll just be wasted with me. You're going to save yourself now, you understand?"
"I don't think I can."
"It's all you now." Darby blinked away tears and racked her brain, trying to recall the layout of their Astro, whispering so Lars wouldn't overhear.
Okay, you broke the kennel, so they'll probably tie you down in the back, under the windows. Try to loosen a panel on the wall, and if you can reach inside, rip out every wire you can find. One of them might power the brake lights, and if the brake lights go out, the cops might pull them over."
Jay nodded.
"Okay."
Long shots upon even longer shots. It was so grimly futile. And Jay's adrenal crisis was as volatile as a hand grenade. Any additional stress could trigger a fatal seizure. But Darby couldn't give in to despair, her thoughts swimming, her words racing.
If they get careless, try to stab one of them in the face. The eyes, okay? An injury that needs medical attention. So they have to go to the hospital." "I'll try."
"Whatever it takes. Promise me, Jay."
"I promise."
The girl's eyes glimmered with tears. She stared up at Darby's smashed hand in the door again, unable to look away.
It's my fault they're going to kill you."
"No, it's not."
"It is. All of this is about me."
"Jay, this is not your fault." Darby forced a dizzy smile. "You know what's funny? I'm not even a good person. Not usually. I was a rotten daughter, and I plan to spend Christmas alone. My mom thought I was the flu when she was pregnant with me. She tried to kill me with Theraflu. Sometimes I used to wish she had. But tonight, at this rest stop,
I'm something good. And I can't tell you how much that means to me. I got to be your guardian angel, Jay. I got to fight for a good reason. And I'm going away soon. And it'll be all you. And you need to keep fighting, okay? Okay. Never stop fighting.
And then for a moment, the fumes dispersed. And Darby caught hold of a crystalline thought. Everything slipped into sharp focus. She glanced up at the horror of her right hand, at her ring finger's top digit, smashed between the door's teeth, at her pinky finger, crushed beyond recognition, at the squeezed beads of blood lining the hinge, the way red jelly blurts out of a donut. She knew it might appear hopeless, but no, there was one last option she could try. Maybe she was delirious from the gas vapors. Maybe it was pure fantasy, but maybe, just maybe, I'm not trapped. Only two of my fingers are. It would be a horrible thing. It would be a desperate, nasty, wrenching act, and it would hurt more than she could imagine. But then she glanced over at the dark figure of Larson Garver in his stupid Deadpool beanie, who'd finished wiping up fingerprints, and now stood in the center of the room with his .45 aimed at herself and Jay. And she made a final vow through gritted teeth. I'll hurt you even worse, rodent face. I'll take your gun. Then I'll kill Ashley with it. This girl is going home. Tonight. I have an idea, she whispered to Jay, concealing the Swiss Army knife under her unhurt palm. One last idea, and I'm going to need your help. Lars saw them whispering.
Hey, he raised the Beretta. Stop talking.
Darby murmured something else into Jaybird's ear, and the little girl nodded once. Then she stood up, stepping aside with silent purpose. Now Darby stared across the room at him, eyes rock hard.
Stop looking at me.
She didn't.
Turn your head. Look at the floor.
He thrust the Beretta at her for emphasis, but she didn't flinch. The pistol had lost its menace. It had become a prop. She wasn't afraid of it anymore. Lars aimed, but he'd been aiming it this entire time. How do you get more threatening than that? He tried to cock it with his thumb, like they do in the movies, but the hammer was already cocked. It was already in single action, because it had already been fired tonight. At her. 5 times. Darby kept staring at him, making his guts coil. Something about her eyes. Something had changed. Slowly, slowly, she slid forward, hunched her knees together, and stood up, her mangled hand twisting behind her back. Her hair stuck to her face in black tangles as she rose, like a scary movie he'd seen, where a dripping Japanese ghost emerged from the floor. He wavered, looking back at the door.
Ashley?
He shouted outside into the night.
Did you find the keys yet?
No answer. His older brother was too far away to hear. He considered moving to the men's restroom, maybe, and shouting through that busted window. But that would require turning his back on them.
Ashley!
He shouted again, backing up, bumping into the cracked vending machine.
Something changed. She's looking at me.
He wanted to move to the front doorway, but that would also require him to turn his back on Darby. He was afraid to. She was clearly trapped there, helpless, with her fingers locked in a door. But somehow he couldn't dare to lose sight of her. With her unhurt hand, she was now reaching for something. A little plastic panel on the wall, which he hadn't paid any attention to all night. Up until this moment. The light switch, he realized, as the room went black.
Ashley?
A tremor in his voice now. Perfect darkness. Lars knelt to the floor and groped for his brother's flashlight. His fingertips found it beside the gas can, bumping it, sending it rolling. He chased it down, his heart banging in his ribs, clicked the button, and aimed the blue-white LED beam at the closet door. To his relief, Darby was still there, and Jaybird, too, both standing in his spotlight, both squinting back at him. Of course they were. Why had he been so frightened? He was sick of this. He wanted to shoot Darby now, right now, and torch this stupid building with Ashley, and end this hellish night, and get to Uncle Kenny's, and kill some grubs in Gears of War.
Ashley?
His voice was hoarse.
Can I kill her yet?
No answer. Just the rasp of wind outside.
Ashley, can I please?
Jay moved suddenly, startling him, and walked around the room's dark perimeter. Lars aimed his Beretta at her and his flashlight, tracking her like a searchlight as she walked past Ed and Sandy's bodies, past the barricaded window.
Jaybird, what are you doing?
She ignored him and stopped at the doorway. Then she grabbed the front door. She pushed it shut.
Jaybird, stop!
He turned back to Darby, spotlighting her with the flashlight. He was splitting his attention now between the two females in the dark room. Darby to his left, Jay to his right. He could only illuminate one of them at a time. He didn't like this. Not at all. He heard a click behind him and whirled back, aiming the beam. Now Jay was on her tiptoes, engaging the deadbolt, locking the door. Then she turned around to face him, squinting in the glare. And he recognized that same frightening look as Darby. Yes, they were both definitely in on it. Some veiled joke that Lars didn't get. This was normal. He never got jokes. Most of the time they were about him. A sore cavity in his stomach told him this one was, too. Like the moment before Ashley had hurled stripes into that campfire 2 summers ago.
Hey, baby brother, wanna see a shooting star? Jaybird,
he repeated. No reaction.
Jaybird, you're gonna get a red card when Ashley gets back,
he said, glancing back left to the closet door, pointing his flashlight back at Darby. She wasn't there. Just the door, a trickle of blood, and a mashed little red piece still wedged in the door, like the juicy inside of a rare hamburger. And it took a half second to register in Lars's thick mind as what it really was, what it meant, what had just happened, and what was coming. Darby slammed into Rodent Face hard, from the side, sending the flashlight tumbling into wild shadows. No time for fear. Screaming with pain and adrenaline. Something raw, black, and feral. She got under Lars's right arm, under the pistol, and knocked it aside, clattering against the brochure rack. She had one chance now. One racing chance. And she also had her father's Swiss Army knife in her left hand. Congratulations on graduating college! Its blade dulled from sawing through the bars on Jay's dog kennel, but still sharp enough. And with it, she throat-punched Larson Garver squarely in his Adam's apple. The knife slipped right in. Blood spurted into her face, into her eyes, her mouth. The taste of warm nickels. Lars's hand swiped at her, his sharp fingernails scratching her cheek. But he was going for his own neck, trying to hold back the bleeding. His other hand moved, too. Half blinded by Rodent Face's blood, she caught a blinking snapshot, a moving blur. Gun. Jay screamed. That black 45. In a panic flash,
She realized Lars hadn't dropped it after all. The clatter she'd heard must have been his flashlight, and he still had the weapon in his knuckled hand, twisting the muzzle toward her belly.
Gun, gun, gun!
Ashley was kneeling to grab the keys from the snow when he heard a single gunshot thump from inside the building, like a trapped thunderclap muffled by flat walls and doors. He couldn't believe it.
Really?
He sighed. God damn it, baby brother. Quickly, he checked the keychain in his phone's flashlight. Yep, there it was. Sandy's stupid little sentry storage key. Silver, circular, stamped with a little A37. Otherwise, unremarkable. He'd found the keychain half buried in the snow where it had landed, 30 feet from the restroom window. Darby had been telling the truth, more or less. And he was grateful for that. If she'd been lying, and Lars had blown her brains out just now, they'd be leaving behind a forensic gold mine of perfectly preserved fingerprints. And they'd never access Jade's steroid shots, meaning the little girl would likely die long before they reached their destination. And then everything, this entire bloody clusterfuck, the Amber Alert in California, the FBI's probable involvement, the murders of Sandy, Ed, and Darby, all of it would be wasted without making a single cent. All because dear sweet Lars got jumpy and shot Darby without permission. Thank God she told the truth. Ashley mashed the keychain into his pocket, lifted his cordless nailer from the snow, and raced back to the entrance.
Larson James Garver,
he howled as he ran, exhaling a furious mist. You just earned yourself an orange card. Darby fought for control of the gun. Rodentface was on the defensive now, stumbling backward, hot blood pumping from his jugular to his own frenzied heartbeat, trying desperately to shake her off, to gain enough distance to control the Beretta. Darby wouldn't let him. She held on to the weapon, her slippery fingers clasped tightly over his. Then she spun, changing direction, and tugged away from him, counterclockwise, twisting the pistol against the joints of his knuckles. Lars was taller and stronger, but Darby was smarter, and she knew how to use inertia against him. Inside the trigger guard, she felt his index finger snap, like a baby carrot. He screamed through his teeth. There was a wet whistle to it, air leaking through the hole in his windpipe, blood surging up in strangled bubbles. They were both spinning now, a whirling tango, hands locked on the firearm, crashing into the coffee counter's edge, tipping chairs, firing into the ceiling, crack, 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 showering plaster grit, exploding a fluorescent light overhead, until the gun's slide locked empty and the trigger lost slack. They slammed into the Colorado map, both still clutching the Beretta. Lars let go, knowing it was empty. Darby held on, knowing it was still useful, and punched Lars in the teeth with it. He staggered away from her, holding his neck, but tripped over the bodies of Ed and Sandy. Now Darby was on top of Rodentface, hitting again, 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 bashing with the aluminum heel of the pistol. She landed a particularly good blow, and felt his cheekbone break with a meaty crunch. He kicked her away, and they separated. Darby scooted backwards on the slick floor, the empty Beretta clattering. She tried to stand up, but slipped. Gasoline everywhere. Her palms splashed down, still half-blind, blinking his blood from her eyes. The fuel jug had tipped in the scuffle. It was on its side, pouring with rhythmic glugs. And near it, she saw her Swiss Army knife, a serrated shadow twirling on tile. She grabbed it. Lars was crawling away from her, toward the locked door. Not fast enough. He was moaning thick words, something desperate, clotted with tears and blood.
Ashley, Ashley, Kill her! Kill her!
Not happening. Not tonight.
Kill her, please!
Darby caught up to him and raised the blade high over the back of Larson Garver's skull, the metal glinting a streak of LED light. Her words from earlier tonight came back like an echo. I'll cut his throat if I have to. And across the room, she made sidelong eye contact with Jay. She was watching, awestruck. Jay, Darby gasped. Don't look. Ashley twisted the doorknob. Locked.
Lars, he panted. Open the door.
No answer. He checked the front window, but it was still blocked by Ed's overturned table. No access. He peered through the gap and saw only darkness. The lights were off in there. Flustered, he moved back to the front door, stumbling over sloped mounds of snow, nearly dropping his nailer.
Lars,
he called out, saliva freezing on his chin.
Please, baby brother, if you're alive in there, say something.
Nothing.
Lars!
Those concussive gunshots rattled in his mind, hollow and panicked. Why would Lars fire a string of rapid shots?
That hadn't been controlled gunfire. That was the sound of desperation.
Spray and pray, they called it.
So what happened in there?
Still no answer. He reared back and kicked the door. The frame creaked, but the deadbolt held.
Getting worried now? Lars, I'm not mad, okay? Just answer me.
He was interrupted by a voice. Not his baby brother's. Darby's.
He can't talk right now, she replied, because I cut his throat.
Ashley's knees went weak. For a sputtering moment, his mind short-circuited, and he forgot about the deadbolt and twisted the doorknob again.
You're lying. I know you're lying.
Want to know his last words?
You better be lying.
He cried your name before I killed him.
Darby, I swear to God, if you really killed my baby brother in there, I will cut the meat off Jaybird's little bones. You'll never touch her,
Darby said, her words hardening with a chilling certainty.
I have the gun now, and you're next.
Ashley punched the door. A bolt of shattering pain exploded through his fist. A jangling echo throbbed up his forearm.
That was a mistake, a huge mistake.
And he clenched his knuckles, his breaths curling through gnashed teeth, eyes welling with hot tears. Broken, definitely sprained, at minimum. He screamed, something he wouldn't remember. It started as Lars's name, maybe, but it morphed into howling nonsense. He wanted to slug the door again, 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 to break his other hand, to bash his forehead, to destroy himself against an immovable object. But that would solve nothing. Later. He'd grieve later. He leaned against the door, his forehead touching the iced metal, controlling his breathing. It was still okay. He was still in this fight. In his unhurt hand, he still had his cordless nailer and plenty of steel 16 pennies, purchased secondhand and fingerprint free, stacked up in the drum magazine, ready for duty. The cold weather hadn't yet sapped the battery. The indicator light was still green. All right, Darby. You lost your mom. I lost my baby brother. There was an intoxicating symmetry to their suffering tonight. Two wounded souls, each reeling from loss, each nursing damaged hands, joined by the rawest pain. This is our dance, you and I. He could still taste her lips from when he'd kissed her in the restroom. He'd never forget it. The sweet sourness of Red Bull, coffee, and the bacteria on her teeth. The humility of it. The realness of a pretty girl with bad breath. We're the cats on the clock. I'm Garfield, you're my Arlene. And hold on tight, because this is our whirling dark dance. He collected himself, scraping his thoughts together, his nerves buzzing.
Fine, Darbs. You want a fight? I'll give you a fight. I'm coming in there one way or another, and I'll red card you both. And by the way, you bitch, he caught his breath. I counted the shots. I know you have an empty gun.
45 Auto Federal, read the golden rim. The cartridge Darby had carried in her pocket all night, ever since Jay had first handed it to her. It was in her hand now, rolling across her trembling palm. She thumbed it into the chamber of Lars's black handgun, one-handed, and let the slide clack forward with a burst of captive spring powder. Jay looked at her. The gun's action was closed. The hammer was cocked rearward. It was ready to fire now. She didn't know how she was so certain. She just was. Guns are visceral. She could feel it.
Lars, Ashley howled outside the door. Baby brother, if you're still alive in there, please, please just kill her.
Darby scooted across the wet floor to Jay and squeezed her into a hard hug. It's almost done, she said. Tonight's almost over. One brother down, one to go. Jay was pale, staring with terror.
Your hand.
I know.
Your finger.
It's okay. She hadn't yet looked at her right hand. She'd been dreading it. She did now, for a split second, and then she ripped her eyes away, gasping. Oh, God. She dared to look at the damage again, her vision clouding with tears. Her thumb, index, and middle fingers were all okay, but her ring finger was skinned raw. The fingernail was slivered, half detached, jutting upright like a cornflake. And her pinky finger was gone. Everything from the first knuckle up. Gone, missing, severed. Not a part of Darby Thorne's body anymore. Still inside that door hinge across the room. Crushed and unrecognizable. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Strangely, the actual act of ripping her hand out of it hadn't hurt at all. She'd freed herself in two sharp clockwise twists. Just a fuzzy sort of discomfort, blunted by adrenaline. But she was rapidly losing blood now, spurting a ceaseless trickle that ran warmly down her wrist and blotted circles on the floor. She covered it with her other hand. She couldn't look at it anymore. Like Ed had said hours ago, when you're facing a lunch date with the Reaper, what are a few little bones and tendons? And more half-remembered voices, warped and tinny, coming at her in a nauseous swirl.
Can you cut a girl in half? I'm a magic man, Lars, my brother. My toast always lands jelly side up, you could say.
Dizzy now, she checked the first aid box on the floor, leaving sticky red handprints, pawing through the syringes and band-aid boxes, searching for that thick gauze. But it was gone. Sandy had used it all.
Can they?
Jay hesitated.
Can they what? You know, reattach fingers?
Yep, they sure can, Darby said, trying to sound calm. She wondered how much blood she'd lost already, and how much more she could afford to. She gave up on the medical gauze, but beside the bleach, she found something better. Lars's roll of electrical tape. She ripped off a stretch with her teeth and looped it around her right hand. She wrapped all three fingers into a clenched block, keeping her thumb free. That took care of the bleeding, but she'd have to shoot the Beretta left-handed. She had never fired a gun before, and she was right-handed. She hoped she could still hit her target. She only had one bullet. Jay kept staring at the injury with morbid awe, and Darby noticed she'd turned shockingly pale. Gray, like a body dredged up from underwater.
What if they can't find your finger in the door, because it's too smashed up?
It'll grow back, Darby said, biting off the last stretch of black tape.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know fingers could grow back.
They do. She touched Jay's forehead, the way her mother used to feel for a fever. And the girl's skin was cold, clammy, like candle wax. She tried to remember. What were the symptoms Ed had described to her? Low blood sugar, nausea, weakness, seizure, coma, death. His words echoed in fragments.
We have to get her to a hospital. It's all we can...
Darby?
The front door thrashed in its frame, and the deadbolt chattered.
We finish what we start.
He's... Jay cringed. He's so mad at us.
Good. Darby scooted against the wall and raised the pistol in her left hand, aiming at the door.
Don't miss.
I won't.
Promise you won't miss?
The gun rattled in her hand.
I promise.
One round in the chamber, like a grim destiny. She'd carried it in her pocket all night, and now it was finally time to use it. The door banged a violent thunderclap as Ashley kicked it again. Darby flinched, her finger tightening hungrily around the trigger. She wanted to fire right now, through the door, but she knew that would be risky. She knew where he was standing and roughly how high, but she couldn't count on the bullet piercing the door with enough power to kill him. She couldn't waste her only shot. She'd have to wait. She'd have to wait for Ashley Garver to kick down the door and step inside the room with them. Point blank, whites of his eyes, at a distance she couldn't possibly miss.
You've shot a gun before, right?
Yep, she lied. The doorframe splintered. A long sliver of wood hit the floor. Ashley screamed outside, banging his fists, a pummeling animal rage.
But this kind of gun, Jay fretted. You've shot this kind before, right?
Yep.
Are you a good shot?
Yep.
Even without a finger?
Okay, Jay, that's enough questions. Thwomp. A sharp, pneumatic sound interrupted her. The window shattered behind the barricaded table, spilling crunchy shards across the floor. She saw something there, something moving in the 3-inch gap between the table and the window frame. It was orange, blunt, like some big dumb animal outside was sticking its beak in. It took Darby a few heartbeats to realize what it actually was. Of fucking course. She hurled Jay to the floor, covering her face. Get down! Get down! Thwomp. The vending machine's glass exploded into white kernels. Skittles and Cheetos bags hit the floor. The nail gun's muzzle twisted, repositioning. Ashley's first two nails had gone high, so he was adjusting his aim. Trial and error. It was the very same gap Sandy had peered through before, now being used against them. I hate him, Darby whispered, rolling onto her belly, whipping her slick hair from her face. I hate him so much.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
Is he shooting nails at us?
It's fine. She tugged Jay upright by the wrist. Come on, come on. They slid into Espresso Peak, taking cover behind the stone counter as thwomp, thwomp, thwomp. An onslaught of shrapnel pierced the air, pinging off the floor, the walls, the ceiling. The pastry case shattered. Styrofoam cups bounced. A carafe banged like a gong and hit the floor beside them, splashing warm water. But the counter and cabinets, a 45-degree inlet, protected them from Ashley's direct fire. See? Darby patted Jay, checking for injuries. We're fine.
You said he wasn't shooting nails at us.
Yeah, well, I lied. Thwomp, thwomp. two pounding impacts on the wall above them, and something slashed Darby's cheek, like a bee sting, then a rush of warm blood. She ducked low and sheltered Jay from more ricochets, shielding her body with her own. She saw tears in the girl's eyes.
"No, no, Jay, it's fine. Don't cry."
Thwomp. A nail slapped wetly into Ed Schaefer's shoulder, twisting his body in a rictus of floppy horror, and Jay screamed. Darby held the girl close, ignoring the gash on her cheek, stroking Jay's dark hair, trying desperately to hold it together. "Oh, Jesus, this is it. This is the last ounce of stress she can take. I'm going to watch helplessly as she locks up and dies. Please don't cry, Jay." She sobbed louder, hyperventilating, fighting Darby's grip. "Please, just trust me."
Thwomp.
A nail thudded off a cabinet, peppering them with wood chips. "Jay, listen to me. The police are coming," she said. "They got held up, but they're still coming. They'll check every rest stop on this highway, especially the one with an almost identical name. They'll save us. Just a few more minutes, okay? Can you last a few more minutes?" Just words. All of it. Just words. Jay kept sobbing, her eyes clenched, building to another bracing scream as... Thwomp. The cash register tipped, crashing down beside them, keypad buttons skittering across the tile like loose teeth. Darby held the 7-year-old close amid all the violence, shielding her face from shrapnel, trying to soothe her panic. She was certain it was over, that Jay's nervous system couldn't possibly handle any more trauma. But then something came back to her, surfacing from her memories. Her mother's warm voice in her ear. "It's okay, Darby. You're fine. It was just a nightmare. All you have to do is..." "Inhale," she told the girl. "Count to 5. Exhale." Thwomp. The Garfield clock exploded off the wall, showering them with plastic bits. Darby brushed away debris from Jay's hair, touching her cheek, keeping her voice level. "Just inhale, count to 5, exhale. Can you do that for me?" Jay took a breath, held it, let it go. "See? It's easy." She nodded. "Again." She took another, let it go. "Just like that," Darby smiled. "Just keep breathing and we'll..."
"Darby!"
Ashley kicked the table and it honked on the floor, scraping a few inches. Broken glass teeth sprinkled from the window. He huffed as he pushed.
"You could have been my girlfriend."
Darby rose to her knees, dizzy with gasoline fumes, pushing aside tipped styrofoam cups, and aimed Lars's black handgun over the counter, aligning the green painted sights, her finger on the trigger.
"I'm not normally like this,"
Ashley howled outside.
"Don't you understand, Darbs? I wasn't going to kill you. I don't even drink or smoke."
Jay winced. He's going to get inside."
"Yeah." Darby closed her right eye, aiming the Beretta. "I'm counting on it."
"We could have gone to Idaho together."
Ashley kicked the table again, scooting it forward another scraping inch, shedding splinters. His voice boomed in the pressurized air.
"Don't you get it? We could have gone to Rathdrum, rented the loft over my uncle's garage. I'd do jobs with Fox Contracting. You'd be my girl, and we'd leave our cities behind, you and me. And I'd show you the river I grew up on, and the trestle."
"Is he telling the truth?"
Jay asked. Darby sighed. "I don't even think he knows." Ashley Garver, a piteous creature that wore so many masks, he didn't even know what he looked like beneath them. Maybe his heart was breaking, even as he discovered he had one. Or maybe it was all just words.
You could have been my girl, he wailed. But you fucking ruined it.
Darby aimed the Beretta as the table shifted again. But she couldn't fire yet. She would have to wait. She'd have to wait until Ashley Garver was visible. Until he scraped the table aside and vaulted in through the broken window. Then, and only then, could she... No. She froze, the trigger half-pulled, the hammer cocked back, a heartbeat away from dropping. Something else, something terrible, had just occurred to her. No, no, no. The pungent taste of gasoline, sharp on her tongue. The tipped fuel jug had now drained itself empty, a half-inch spreading to coat the entire floor. Fumes crowded the air, sweating beads on the walls. If I fire Lars's handgun, she realized with dawning horror, the muzzle blast could ignite the vapor in the air. The chain reaction would incinerate the entire room. There were 5 gallons spilled in here. The floor would become a sea of rolling fire, like dropping the world's biggest Molotov cocktail. There'd be zero chance of escape. Darby's hoodie was drenched with gasoline, damp and clinging. So was Jay's parka. They'd both be burned alive. Firing the weapon in here was suicide. Darby lowered the pistol. Shit. But instead, you killed my brother. Ashley kicked the table again, an exhaled wolfish chuff. The table scraped another inch, bumping Sandy's limp ankle. He now had almost enough space to squeeze through. Darby almost hurled the handgun in rage. Shit, shit, shit. Jay touched her shoulder.
What?
Darby rubbed blood from her eyes, reassessing, drawing desperate new plans. You know what? It doesn't matter. He'll never touch you again. I swear to God, Jay, I am your guardian angel, and Ashley Garver will never hurt you again, because I will kill him.
I'll kill you, Ashley kicked again. You fucking whore.
Darby stood up, wiping gasoline off her hands. Listen to me, Jay. We're not waiting for the police. We're not waiting for a rescue. I've been waiting all damn night, and no one's rescued me. Almost everyone I've trusted tonight has turned on me. We are the rescue. Say it, Jay. We are the rescue.
We are the rescue.
Louder.
We are the rescue.
Jay stood up on shaky legs. Can you run?
I think so. Why?
Darby had one more idea. Last ditch didn't even do it justice. She grabbed a handful of brown napkins from the counter and mashed them into the bagel toaster. Pressed the plunger. It clicked, like a gun's chamber closing. And inside it, the toaster's heating coils warmed. Jay watched.
What are you doing?
She knew she had 10, maybe 20 seconds until the coils turned red hot. We are the motherfucking rescue. She grabbed a half-drunk cup of black cowboy coffee. Ed's, maybe. Long cold, and chugged it on the run, squeezing Jay's fingers and racing for the restroom, hand in hand, running for that tiny window. Don't stop, Jay. Don't stop.
You're sure fingers grow back?
Yep. Ashley bashed his way inside. He vaulted the window on his unhurt hand, careful not to slash his palm on the jagged glass, and coughed on a pungent odor. Boy, howdy, it was potent. The fuel can must have spilled, and mixed with the bleach and Sandy's pepper spray vapor to create a truly noxious atmosphere. He rubbed his stinging eyes as he clambered in, aiming the nailer, sweeping left to right. First, he saw the crumpled bodies of Ed and Sandy near the Colorado map. Legs sprawled open in the immodesty of death. Blood mixing with the gas on the floor, swirling vivid ribbons. Beside them, baby brother Lars. Oh, Lars. On his belly, his head twisted sideways in an ocean of red. His hair mussed, his eyes still drowsily half open, his throat a meaty slash, his jugular cut to the bone. A human Pez dispenser. The scrawny kid who'd worn an army surplus helmet and combat boots to junior high school, who loved ranch sauce on his famous star cheeseburgers, who'd rewatched Starship Troopers until his VHS copy strangled the VCR with black ribbons. He was gone now. Gone forever. He'd never play the new Gears of War on Xbox One. All because he got sucked into a school bus driver's ill-fated little ransom scheme. Because between the changed locks, the cops, and the blizzard, this entire week had careened wildly off the rails. And it all would have been manageable, still, were it not for Darby. Darbs. Darbo. That fiery little redhead from CU Boulder, who broke into their car with a shoelace, of all things, who handed Jaybird a knife and tipped an already volatile night irreversibly off course. He suspected his entire life had been building to this confrontation. Hers, too. She was his destiny, and he was hers. In a better universe, perhaps he'd marry her. But in this one, he'd have to kill her. And unfortunately, he'd have to make it hurt. Oh, Lars, Lars, Lars. I'll make this right. I promise I'll... He heard a whoosh to his right, and he whirled, aiming the cordless nailer, expecting to see Darby and Jaybird cowering behind the coffee stand. But Espresso Peak was empty, pierced with nails, dripping with gasoline, messy with tipped cups and plastic fragments. But empty. They weren't here. He noticed the toaster was crammed with brown napkins. The noise he'd heard? A cloud of gray smoke, curling from the toaster's glowing coils. A sizzle as the napkins ignited. Ashley ran his tongue along his upper lip, tasting the gasoline vapor. And then it all made sense. Oh, come on! A fireball ripped through the restroom's triangular window, pushing a scorching wave of pressurized air. Darby leapt outside, a half second ahead of the blast, bouncing off a picnic table and landing hard, twisting her left ankle. She felt a sickening pop. Jay turned, a few paces ahead.
Darby!
I'm fine. But she knew she wasn't. Her ankle throbbed with jarring pain. Her toes went instantly numb. A sharp mess of pins and needles inside her shoe, like invisible fingers pinching her nerves.
Can you walk?
I'm fine, she said again, and another surge of fire roared through the broken window above her, drowning out her voice. Another wall of hot air threw her to her knees in the snow. The visitor center erupted into towering flames behind them. Tongues of fire pumping a column of filthy smoke. It climbed to the sky, a furious tornado swirl of glowing embers. The size and closeness of it was overwhelming. Raging heat on her back. The whining suction of devoured air. The charcoal odor of fresh fire. The snow lit up with orange daylight, and the trees cast bony shadows. Jay gripped her hand.
Come on, stand up.
Darby tried again, but her ankle folded limply beneath her. Another surge of nauseating pain. She hobbled forward.
Is he dead?
Jay asked. Don't count on it.
What does that mean?
It means no. Darby pulled Lars's handgun from her jeans. She wasn't sure if Ashley had been inside the building when the fumes ignited, but she hoped her improvised firebomb had at least blown his eyebrows off. But dead? No, he wasn't dead, because she hadn't killed him yet. She could rest when she fired her stolen .45 caliber bullet right into his smirking face. No sooner.
I hope you got him.
Jay said as the inferno swelled behind them, turning the world foggy with low smoke. The moon was gone. The trees had become jagged ghosts in the fire-lit smog. Big Devil held its blackened shape as it burned, a cage of roiling fire around an epicenter of bone-cracking heat. And now the glowing embers descended like fireflies from the darkness, peppering the snow around Darby and Jay. They sizzled on contact, hundreds of tiny meteors striking puffs of steam. Too fast to outrun.
Jay, take off your coat.
Why?
There's gasoline on it. Darby tugged off her own art walk hoodie and hurled it into the snow. Seconds later, a spark touched it, and it erupted into blue-orange flames, like a campfire. Jay saw this and tore hers off immediately.
See? Told you.
More embers descended around them. More fireflies riding the winds. And Darby followed Jay one painful step at a time. She couldn't stop. Her hair was still soaked with fuel. One errant spark was all it would take. She'd come too far and fought too hard tonight to be killed by a goddamn spark. She peeled a wet strand from her face.
The parking lot. We'll get into Blue.
What's Blue?
My car.
You named your car?
I'll run the engine to keep you warm, and... Darby trailed off as they trudged through the smoky darkness, letting the next thought go unsaid. And while you're sitting in Blue's passenger seat, I'll go find Ashley and shoot him in the face. And end it, once and for all. Jay twisted her neck, watching the roiling flames over her shoulder as she ran, like she was expecting Ashley to emerge from the wreckage.
You killed his brother.
Yeah, I did. It was still sinking into Darby. Yes, she'd killed someone today. She'd stabbed another human being in the neck, broke his finger and cheekbone, and slit his throat. As worn and chipped as it was, that Swiss Army knife had slipped right in, like she was cutting meat. And technically, she was. Just dirty, grim business. And before tonight ended, she knew she'd have to kill one more. Jay fretted.
He loves his brother.
Loved, past tense.
He's not going to be happy with you.
I... Darby choked on a hoarse laugh. I think that ship has sailed, Jay. Just one more. I've already killed Beavis. Just Butthead left. 50 yards back, the Big Devil building groaned like a monster turning over in its sleep, blackened ribs creaking and popping inside the firestorm. Melting snow slid off the roof in a billow of scalding steam. Then I can finally rest. They'd reached the Nightmare Children, those dozen or so half-gnawed kids, frozen in apocalyptic playtime, buried to their waists in snow. When Jay stopped, pointing downhill, stabbing with her finger.
Look, look, look!
Darby wiped Lars's blood from her eyes, and saw it too. Headlights. Approaching the entrance ramp of the Wanapani rest area from the highway. Big, industrial high beams over a curved silver plate, throwing an arc of backlit ice chips. The first CDOT snowplow was finally here.
Jay squinted.
Is that for us?
Yeah, that's for us. Seeing this reassured Darby that there was still an outside world. It was still out there. It was real. It was populated with decent people who could help. And holy Christ, she'd almost clawed her way out of this fiery, blood-drenched nightmare. She'd almost rescued Jay. Almost. Her knees gave out, and she fell to a crouch. She was crying and laughing all at once, her face a tight mask,
her scar as visible as a billboard. She didn't care. She was so close now. She watched the yellow lights float closer in the darkness, like twin lanterns.